good to be here tonight. I really appreciate this church. You went out of your way to make my wife and I feel at home. We just celebrated 42 years at our church in Lansing, and it's been a long, hard row. I've always had to work, and when I came here, I had an attitude that I wasn't going to work. I was going to get preachers to back me up, and in so many months that I would be on full time, and it never worked out. And in fact, there's a church right now in Lansing, and they're trying the same approach, and I don't know. This is a tough field, so we just need to pray one for the other. I was born in Northwest Illinois, so this is normal kind of winter weather for us. I spent 16 years in Moline, Illinois. When I was 16, my dad pulled the carpet from under the family by surrendering his life to be a minister. And he moved us to Wisconsin. We lived right on Highway 41, straight up from Chicago, a suburb of Milwaukee. And I'll guarantee you, you don't know what snow is. The wind blows off Lake Michigan, and this is the honest truth. I walked to school 2 weeks, 21 below zero. But you get used to it. And I went to Bible college out of rebellion, ended up in Springfield, Missouri. So I was a northerner. I began to be a southerner. And I married my wife in El Dorado, Arkansas, and we spent 10 years in Louisiana before we came up here. So God turned us from a northerner to a southerner to being able to be on the field of Kansas for 42 years. I love it here. This is where God put me, and I love it here. All right. Hopefully we'll have a good time here tonight. Again, since I have to work, I have probably different ways of putting sermons together than most preachers. I depend on the Holy Spirit, and when I'm reading my Bible, what I'll do, every once in a while, God will say, man, that's a good thought. And I've already prayed, always pray that God would show me something in the Bible, and that and then I ask for forgiveness so I can have a clear mind. But I'll be reading the Bible and I'll say, man, that's a good thought. And I'll write it down and put it on a little slip of paper and put it in my desk. And I probably got hundreds of ideas that God gives me. And I'm only saying that to say this tonight. This is one of the sermons. About a month ago, as I was reading my Bible, God shared this portion of Scripture, and he nudged me, and he says, how come David's praying for the same thing twice? I said, man, that's a good thing to look up and to think about. And so I wrote it down, and I put this sermon together. I've never preached this sermon yet. My wife will get to hear it sometime in the future, but I've never preached it yet. And so I want to share it with you tonight. So if you'll stand with me and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning in verse number 1. First Samuel 23, I would like us to read the first 12 verses, please. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come in to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together in war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant, and the Lord said, He will come down. Then said David, Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, They will deliver thee up. Boy, that's quite a bit to meditate on. These folks didn't appreciate David offering them salvation. Have you ever met somebody that didn't appreciate you offering them salvation? That's not my message. My message is, are you trusting God's answer? Are you trusting God's answer? We all know that we ought to ask God for things. And when God gives us an answer, do we really trust his answer? Dear Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, I love you. I love this country, even though it's in a severe mess. I'm praying for victory. I'm praying for the service tonight, that you'd give victory in our hearts. Lord, you do the preaching. I can't do it. And yet, Lord, I believe that you have something for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are several things I want you to think about tonight. First of all, the Philistines are mentioned in this text. They're the outward enemies of David. They're the outward enemies of God's ministry and God's work. Then you have Saul. Saul is a spiritual, I guess we would say, an inner enemy of David. We can always learn when we meditate on God's word. And I just wonder if David should have did all that running from Saul. God had anointed him to be king. And Saul should have appreciated God's direction and the fact that he was going to be replaced by King David, but Saul wanted to kill him. And so David not only has the Philistines as an enemy, he's got Saul as an enemy. King David is a type of a person that hungers to bring salvation. He's always looking for an opportunity to bring salvation. And when he heard that the threshing floors of Keilah was being taken by the Philistines, his heart broke that those people need to be saved. Those people need to be rescued. And he had a hunger to be that person that would help them. When you think of the threshing floor, you think about people that have labored hard and long, and now it's time to reap the harvest, and the food's being taken from them. They were expecting a bountiful harvest, but the Philistines are coming to take all their food. Keilah is a city in the plains of Judah. They were unappreciative and actually traitors to David. All right, now, just a little bit more, and I want to get into the message tonight. But when we think about David, we ought to be very careful, because you and I have a tendency of always looking for the negative. Yes, David is a man that did commit adultery. Yes, David is a man that actually murdered. And David has some negative things. But let's never, never, never overlook the positive things in other people's lives. After all, you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. What other man in the Bible is noted as being a man after God's own heart? Man, what a blessing that is. David was that kind of person. David was also that kind of person that when he did sin, and the old-time preacher knocked on his door and said, "Hey, you've sinned. This is what you've done wrong," David would immediately get on his knees and repent to God and ask for forgiveness. In fact, God gave us Psalm 51 to remind us how serious David was when it came time for forgiveness. You know, I think another thing that we overlook, and you need to pay attention when you're reading your Bible, no wonder David wanted to build the house of God, and God said, "No, because you're a bloody man." You ought to check out the people that David destroyed, of course, under God's direction. But I'll guarantee you there's hundreds of thousands of them that God allowed David to destroy. And as you're meditating on that, I want you to keep this in mind. There's not one portion of Scripture that says that David was ever injured. And another positive thought that you need to not keep out of your mind, David is in the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're getting close to Christmas. By the way, I hate that word. That's a Catholic word. We're getting close to the birth of Christ. And David was born in the city, what they call the city of David. He's in the bloodline of King David. Keeping all those things in mind, there's a few things I'd like you to notice tonight. Number one, the word ask. We find it in verse number 2. "Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and smite these Philistines?'" David is seeking God's will. And I believe it's important for us to always have a desire to find God's perfect will. It took me years to find it, but I found it in about 1970 while I was leading music at the Bossier City Baptist Temple. By the way, in the South, Glenn does an excellent job, but in the South, you don't stand behind a pulpit. When you lead singing, you're all over the place. I know, I led singing for years. In fact, preachers don't stand behind the pulpit. We knew one preacher that was, his name was Marty Few, from the southern portion of Louisiana where the Cajuns are, and that guy would quit preaching and go out the church door and run around the building a couple times, come back in and finish. You say, that's crazy. Wait a minute. You got to be careful that you let that man of God follow the Holy Spirit of God. If your preacher doesn't do it that way, pray and stand behind your preacher. Just pray that the Holy Spirit of God would always get a hold and use him. But David wanted to know God's will. We're not talking about a specific will. When I was leading music, I didn't finish, but when I was leading music, my spiritual cell phone went off. And when I answered that phone while I was leading the invitation, God told me word for word, you can believe it or not, but God told me word for word, I want you to preach. Now that's important, God's will in your life. But listen, every day you need to ask God's will. If you're driving out, ask God, God, this is my plan for the day, this is my schedule, but what would you have me to do? And help me to accept whatever comes across this day. And so David is practicing this. There's no problem that God can't answer. But what we need to realize is that every problem you and I face is too big for us. Every problem is too big for you. You need to seek the Lord. He ought to be the first place that you go to. And David is teaching us this. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. David immediately asked God what his opinion was. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines? Just being able to go to the Lord seeking his will demonstrates God's mercy and grace. You don't have any right to ask God's opinion, but God invites you to. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. No wonder it says in Hebrews 4:16, and let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may be able to find mercy, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. I love that verse because it reflects back on Esther's life. Remember, we don't have time to go in there, but Esther was fearful of going before the king to salvage the Jewish nation, because she knew the rule. And the rule was that the king had to give you permission first. He had to move his scepter out toward you and give you permission. Esther knew that if she didn't approach the king that way, that she could be killed. But as she prayed and fasted, she just took it into her hands to go in before the king. And of course, God worked it all out. But I'm so glad that we don't have to wait for God. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. It's awful quiet in here. You need to holler a little louder here. And just the simple request. You know, David could have had a 20-point outline, but he just had a simple request. Shall I go and smite these Philistines? Now, secondly, this is as simple as can be. Number one, you need to ask. Number two, David demonstrates the importance of listening. The importance of listening. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 12, I remember the story of Elijah. And remember, there was a time as Elijah is hiding out for that the thunder rolls, earthquake, but he didn't find the Lord there. The Bible says he found the Lord in a still, small voice. So that means we have a real need in our life of learning how to listen. Be honest with me tonight. I'm trying to teach you some things to meditate on. It's hard enough to teach ourselves to pray. But how many times do you quickly pray and go on your way? Why don't you take a few moments and listen? Give God a chance. When you get on the telephone, don't just do all the talking. Do it. Give the other person a chance to answer. Listen. Verse 2 says, "And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." See, God does have an answer. In Psalm 91 and verse 15, the Bible says, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him and will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Isaiah 65, 24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." God gives David an answer. It's a very quick and complete answer. Now, God's answer may not always be what we desire. Sometimes God says, yes. Sometimes he says no. Man, that took me years to get over. I was a rebellious brat. I had a good home, wonderful home. But my folks disciplined me when I did wrong. And I thought that was a sign of hatred. When I would ask something, they said no. Man, my blood would boil. Why didn't they give me? That is an answer. One thought comes to my mind, one illustration. I think I was 16. I may have been a little younger, but I think I was 16. And I got sick and tired of my haircut. My folks made me wear a regular haircut all the time, parted on one side, and I think my grandma called it a bird's wing or something on the other side. It doesn't matter. But I had to wear that hair all the time. In the summer, you got a butch. So when I was 16, I had a paper out and I saved some money. And I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a good haircut like everybody else does. The latest fad. Well, the latest fad was a Hollywood haircut. Your sides are long and your top is short. I paid for that haircut and went home. And my mother came unglued. Son, you're an embarrassment to our family. What caused you to do such a thing? And after she demonstrated how upset she was, I determined, I guess I'm going to wear a regular haircut. Now my mama's in heaven and I can say, I'm going to wear my hair the way I want to. No, she would honor that. But no, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is later. Not right now, but later. I'll take care of that request, but you're expecting an answer right away. No, later on. And sometimes that's the way it is. Other times, God says, I'm going to answer that prayer in a complete different direction than what you have in mind. But God always answers our prayer. When I pastored a church that I started under the Lord's direction in Chalmette, Louisiana, it didn't work out, and I had to humble myself and say, I'm going to go back into the ministry. I had another pastorate before that in Tioga, Louisiana, and we had a good church. But I told myself, I'm going to look for a church. What I'm going to do is every weekend, I'm going to pack my family in the car, and we're going to go to different churches, and I'm going to ask if they know about a church that's available. And the Lord blessed that, because most of the time the preacher would say, no, I don't know of any, but would you preach for me tonight? And that would take care of our expenses. One day I stopped by the Slidell Baptist Temple, and Brother Ron Osteen was the pastor. He had just taken the church. And after church, he said, Pastor Lake, he said, I would like you to pray about something. He said, I'd like you to pray about being my assistant and the principal of our Christian school. Well, when I left that day, I said, he thinks I'm going to pray about that. I'm looking for a church to pastor. So I'd go to different churches on the weekend, and God would take care of our needs. One day I didn't have anywhere to go, and I went back to Slidell Baptist Temple. And after the service, the preacher cornered me, and he said, Pastor Lake, have you been praying about coming over here and being my assistant and my principal of the school? I said, I'll be honest with you, I haven't prayed about it. He said, I want you to pray about it. I said, okay, I promise, I'll pray about it. I went. Now, what they had to offer me was a mobile home, so it was all furnished. So I told my wife the next day, I says, I'm going to work, and I was a milkman at the time in New Orleans, and I said, I'm going to go to work, and I want you to put a sign out front that our furniture is for sale, and we'll see what God's direction is going to be. I came home that afternoon, and my wife had sold everything but the kitchen sink. Now, I wanted to be a pastor again. God put me under that man's ministry for 6 years. I learned a lot. And he was a tough preacher to work for. But God was just polishing me up. He said, yeah, I want you to go back and be a preacher, but not at this time. Not at this time. And you know, check verse 4 out. He will go with you. The Lord will go with you. David, not only do I want you to help the people of Keilah and beat the living dickens out of the Philistines, but I want you to remind you that I'm going to go with you. I'm so glad the Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David, what more could you ask for? And his answer always involves salvation. The king is interested in souls, the souls of Keilah. Your preacher is interested in the souls of Leavenworth. Always respect that and praise God for that. If there's a preacher that doesn't want to see souls saved, may God help him. That's what we're called to do. But then I noticed the word temptation. Verse 3, and David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we came to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? We have all got to be careful that we don't interfere with God's answer in someone else's life. Others had their personal opinion. They weren't ready to go to Keilah. They weren't willing, they weren't ready to take on the Philistines. They were afraid. 1 Peter 5:7 reminds us as a Christian, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Well, we need to put that verse in our heart, especially this day and age we're living in, and especially the way our government's headed. Others were depending upon their personal abilities. Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God will give you the victory. But David had the temptation. Now God already gave him the answer. Pack your bags. Get your sword out. Sharpen it up. I'm going to give you victory over the Philistines and you'll be able to save the people of Keilah. But the people began to damper David's spirit. They began to interfere. They began to cause questions to come in David's mind. And so what did David do? Well, David double-checked with God. Verse 4. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. Now, David works with God's man. Let me remind you of that. In the Garden of Eden, a lot of people don't realize this. But when the devil came and tempted Eve to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God never told her not to. Don't lose me now. Her husband told her not to. Because God speaks through the man. You know why our society is so messed up today? Because men aren't the preachers in their home like they should be. God spoke to David. They needed to learn how to trust God's man. Going to God for an answer the second time was not necessary. It's a sign of not trusting God. I saw that in the life of Gideon also in the Bible. Remember? God told Gideon that he would give him the victory, and yet Gideon said, well, I need to have something to do. I need you to do something for me. I want you to give a sign. Gideon, all you needed to do was listen and do what God told you, and you're going to have the victory. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's also a sign of not paying attention. David, if you paid attention, you know exactly what God's answer already is. God already fulfilled his mercy and grace. He told David exactly what he would do. He'd go with him and they would win the battle against the Philistines and save Keilah. Now, what I notice, here's the final point. Excuse me, a preacher's never supposed to say this, the final point, but this is the final point. And the verse number 4, and the Lord answered him and said, arise and go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. That's our commander in chief. He's going to lead. All we have to do is follow. This is an example of God's patience and long suffering. God could have easily have said, David, you dummy, didn't I already give you an answer? But you know what? God puts up with us when we do dumb things like that. I already told you I was going to be with you and you're going to win the victory. Why are you asking me a second time? And God could have showed his wrath, but instead God loves us and he continually offers his mercy and grace. Second Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's a few more powerful thoughts. God will never go back on his word. Even though David shouldn't have asked a second time, God's answer was the same. God never said, well, you know, a few minutes ago I thought of that. No, God never goes back on his word. God's word doesn't change. Isn't that great? God's word doesn't change. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So God just simply gave David assurance. Assurance that he would not only be involved with David, but that David would have the victory. So hopefully what we've learned here tonight is seek God's will. Learn how to listen. Don't let others interfere when God tells you something. And always appreciate the fact that God is willing to put up with us. And what happened? God gave the victory. The Philistines were defeated here. Keilah was saved. And the sad thing is, they didn't even appreciate it. But David performed God's will, and that's what's important. A man who lived on Long Island was able one day to satisfy a lifelong ambition by purchasing for himself a very fine barometer. When the instrument arrived at his home, he was extremely disappointed to find that the indicating needle appeared to be stuck. it was pointing to the sector marked hurricane. After shaking the barometer very vigorously several times, its new owner sat down and wrote a scorching letter to the store from which he had purchased the instrument. The following morning, on the way to his office in New York, he mailed the letter. That evening, he returned to Long Island to find not only the barometer missing, but his house also. The barometer needle had been right. There was a hurricane. When you pray and God gives you an answer, that settles it. It's not going to change.